question now is, what terrifying form will the monster take next?
This episode is titled, Sucking on Chili Dogs and Talking About Godzilla. Music for today's episode, courtesy of the Naylor Brothers. Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Dinner with Nate. Today, my guest, zooming in from sunny San Diego, is Paul Naylor, one half of the music group The Naylor Brothers. He is a painter, a musician, and most importantly, a lover of Godzilla. Hi, Paul. Thanks for doing this.
Very happy to be here. Thank you, Nate. I am indeed a lover of Godzilla. I'm glad we picked this one to do.
Me too. I mean, this might be the first one that neither myself or the guest had seen prior to this. Like, we planned this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's probably no movie that you have not seen that I've seen. I feel like we have seen all the same movies. So that was a hard
right.
one. Since this was a brand new movie coming out, I feel like we both
definitely
are Godzilla lovers and have like a new one to talk about, especially
right
since there's haven't been really that many new movies in the past year, you know.
No, I what I really love that people are talking about how this kind of saved cinema, and it really proved that you can't go wrong with a monster fight movie.
Yeah,
I think, you know, the superhero movies have gotten so dark and you'd be hard pressed to make a really somber, depressing kaiju movie.
Yeah,
it's just people want to see the madness of it all. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Yeah, as of now, it's already made like $357 million.
Yeah.
It's been out for like a week and a half or something.
It's crazy. I'm so happy. I watched it immediately when it came on HBO Max that night. And I really, it was a bummer to not go see it in the theater, but they weren't doing those midnight shows, you know?
Right.
And I just had to watch it. I didn't want any spoilers coming out.
You know, I'm so tempted to do this, but I'm not sure if I will. We actually have a drive-in movie theater just outside of Portland. And
nice.
That's what they're showing right now. And
awesome.
Like, I'm so tempted.
Right.
Like, it's been so long since I've been to a drive-in, and this would be like a perfect drive-in movie.
Right. I have a good friend who I play music with in a band, Rhinoceros 3. And mm-hmm. he actually took his kids to I think it's the only drive-in in San Diego left, or one of maybe two. But he went last night and he said it was just, it was like unbelievable.
Since the pandemic sort of happened, the drive-in has been like kind of booming a little.
Yeah.
Because like, it's a way you can go and see a movie. We have shitty weather here in Portland, so they couldn't do it certain parts of the year. But when it's nice out, they've been like rehashing old movies, like doing The Goonies, obviously.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Because we live in Oregon.
And, right.
You know, things like that. I think that they always do double features. So I think right now they're doing Godzilla versus Kong. And then The Shining is the second movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
That'd be fun.
So it's nice that like that's available here. Because I know, you know, there aren't many drive-ins left in the country anymore.
No, totally not. And there's not many things that could have happened for them to become successful again. This was such a bizarre, unexpected thing that, yeah, these industries like drive-ins were suddenly like, oh crap, we can do this again.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're doing comedy shows and all kinds of drive-in stuff. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've
seen that. It'll be interesting to see where these industries go, you know, the ones that have kind of reemerged a little bit. Like, I hope people still want to go to drive-ins. That's cool as hell. But you never know, because they were certainly on their way out.
You know, we've known each other for a really long time, but have never really lived in the same city.
We
met sort of through Kyle Ray.
Yeah.
And like,
I think Kyle and I were 18, because that was, it was Rosarito with the Far Side of the World. And he goes, you got to meet this guy, Nate. I think he's like your long lost older brother. and immediately started telling me about, you know, the movies and music and shit, and I was like, oh wow, yeah, all right. But yeah, definitely got hit it off immediately. That was so fun.
Yep. Yeah, you and I have a love of like Godzilla and Mike Patton and,
oh yes.
just like a lot of stuff that like you know, I might have a little bit in common with other people. But like you and I seem to have like a very similar interest in a lot of different things.
Totally. Yeah. And I'll find people who like Mike Patton, but haven't seen every single Godzilla movie. So it's, you know, that to find the Venn diagram coming together like that is great. But yeah, it's I love just that. And it's because I feel like stuff like Mr. Bungle and these old Godzilla movies and any mid-century horror movie, like I love Creature from the Black Lagoon and Them. All those, they're spooky. There's certainly darkness to them, but it's very lighthearted, and it's totally. There's you can't be too dreary with these things. They're just too much fun.
Yeah, and I mean, I love that this movie just came out, because it, like, you know, my 10-year-old son is also loves Godzilla, and that's part of my definitely.
Oh well, I would absolutely raise kids to be into Godzilla. Yes. Why not, man?
And this movie came out, and it was just like, oh man, he was just like, we need to watch this and this and this, and like go back and watch some of the old stuff, because he just, like both of us just really love the Showa era of.
Oh, it's the best, yeah.
And he's got lots of figures, action figures.
I have a lot of Godzilla figures, but I've never been able to buckle down on getting anything more than like $60 maybe.
Right.
And like, I'd go to Comic-Con and there's like, you know, a Hedorah that's that big, and it's like translucent blue with glitter. And I'm like, it's the coolest thing I could imagine. It's like $200. And I just go, I can't tell my wife that I spent $200 on. Well, on like a glow in the dark hetero figure.
Well, yes, my son Oliver, he's trying to figure out a way to come up with, like, I think it's close to $300, because he wants a Showa Gigan action figure.
Oh, dude,
he's like, it's like $300. He's like, what can I sell that I have? Because he really
wants it. Dude, I don't know if I'm a good influence, but I fully support him. Gigan is probably, Gigan has a very special place in my heart.
I mean, there are dumber things to invest in, I suppose.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. At least these will always be like cool.
Yeah.
It's like aesthetically interesting.
Totally. Let's talk about some food. Before Absolutely. We get into the movie, so you sent me a recipe for chili dogs,
yes,
which is, and this is
right. It's like it's so dirty down home, you can't go wrong. It's just
right.
It's like if you're in the mood for a chili dog, nothing else will do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't make chili dogs at home. Like it's something you get like when you're at a stadium or like
absolutely,
you know, something like that. But like this really appealed to me when you when you sent that. I was like, why don't I ever make chili dogs at home?
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
I mean, this seems like it definitely will be a good thing for like my neighbor, my block, we do block parties.
Oh, nice.
We haven't like in the last year, but
we'll
probably get back to that soon. Nice. This would be a good thing for block parties, man. Chili dogs.
Oh man, yeah. It's so awesome. And they're just, yeah, they're one of those things that I don't really think about making them at home.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you kind of have to be out somewhere having fun for it to really hit.
Yeah.
When you had mentioned the possibly one of the most insane lyrics in the history of pop music, sucking on a chili dog outside the Dairy Queen? Are they at the DQ?
Tasty Freeze.
Tasty Freeze. That's right.
Tasty Freeze.
Yep. And that it's like, that's the only time a hot chili dog has ever sounded unappealing. Of all ways to eat a chili dog, sucking is not what anybody wanted to hear.
My friend John Magnifico, he was a coworker of mine, and he would try, like, when we worked in kind of a warehouse situation.
Mm-hmm.
He would, any song that was playing, he would try to inject sucking on chili dog into whatever song was going on all the time.
That's so good.
Or like if he was pulling out like one of our delivery trucks, he would just be like driving out and he'd be like, sucking on chili dog. It was the greatest thing ever. He's so funny.
I love that. I love that. That is, we when Monsters from Mars was practicing, we covered Gloria at a point. Uh-huh. And the whole like G-L-O-R, you know, spelling it out part, we would just be messing around and started saying Crispin, because we decided that Crispin is one of the funniest names ever. And it really is only one man. You can't name a kid Crispin. There's only Crispin Glover. Yep. And so every time, you know, when Kyle would be singing it and he'd have to like shorten it awkwardly, like C-R-I-S-P. So it's one of those things like that where we would yell out Crispin at shows and start laughing. And everyone's just like,
what's so funny?
It's like, yeah, if I saw a band doing that, I'd probably be like, we should bail.
Yeah, I remember in my early 20s in Chicago, I think it was myself, my friend Steve, and my friend Aaron, and my friend Edwin. I think we so we got pulled into some sort of like show that we weren't prepared to do. We created a new band in the process, which was called Chaotic Neutral. And it was basically, it was like, we sort of had a plan where just one person would start a song and then we all just kind of had to follow.
Right.
But it would be like, this song's called Flight of the Blue Dragon. And then whoever said that then would start playing and then you'd have to just follow them. And it was all like sort of like stoner metal.
Right. Yeah. Just something that everybody can kind of like jam to and pick up on.
But it was all like every title had something to do that with like D&D, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the mystical toad armor.
It's like, this is called I Rolled a Natural 20, you know, or something like that.
Honestly, Chaotic Neutral is such a good name for a band. That is so funny. I love that.
Yeah.
But that is the beauty of being in a band and just saying every once in a while, let's do something really weird.
Uh-huh.
Let's really
and see how long people will listen to it.
Exactly.
Before they leave.
Yeah. Really, really test the audience's like interpretation of avant-garde. Makes me miss playing, man.
Yeah. So, okay, tell me about this this recipe a little bit. When do you do it? Like, is this just like? Is this very rare?
It is. It's something that's very rare. And it was something that I kind of remembered from childhood because my mom grew up in Cambridge, Ohio.
Okay.
It's a tiny little town, and they had a place. Everyone just called it the Coney Island place, mm-hmm. but I think it's Theo's. It's like Theo's Coney Island dog.
Okay. But
that was just a real staple in the town for whatever reason. And it's very German in Ohio.
Yep.
Especially around that area. So like the idea of any sausage based food makes sense.
I mean, I grew up in Nebraska, so I get
it. Oh, yeah. Right. Well, and there's especially in Columbus, there's some great German restaurants, but this little spot in Cambridge, Ohio was just the jam. And, you know, you go in there and it was so interesting growing up in San Diego and seeing some kind of quaint old school stuff. But then you go to a place like, you know, middle of nowhere, Ohio, and it's just these old brick buildings. It was such a cool little place. You'd walk in, all the pies were there. You get a pie, like a slice of pie with everything. And yeah, the Coney Island dogs, it was just such a classic comfort food. And you could eat like two of them, even if you were like a kid. They weren't those, like, you sometimes you'll get a chili dog that is more of a dare.
Right.
I immediately need a fork. Mm-hmm. And these were more reasonable. They're still messy, but like, just, oh man, it's one of those things where it is that just that nostalgic, you know, I remember everything about being in there and just the wood paneling and all that kind of stuff that you don't really see that much in San Diego.
Totally.
So yeah, I was asking my mom about just some old recipes, and she had some good ones, but she goes, you know, I got the chili from Theo's Coney Island. I just went, oh, that's perfect.
Okay. Yeah. So I like this. It's like a shortcut chili, mm-hmm. in a way. So listeners, it's like you can use whatever hot dog you want. I got like the big, like fatty Hebrew Nationals, like the big ones.
I would go that direction.
You only get four awesome. In a pack because they're so big.
Right. It's like when you get a 4-pack of 16-ounce beers, and it's the same amount, but it looks weird.
Yep. But this chili, it's a pound of ground beef. It's one chopped up onion. You want to break it. I use like a potato masher to just break the meat up really, mm-hmm. really small, because you want it to be, this is almost like a skyline chili in a way. I don't know if you've ever had that, where you just,
I haven't been there, but I know you mean.
Yeah, right. It needs to be broken down really small. You don't want big chunks of the beef.
Right.
So you saute or you cook that stuff, brown the chili up with the onions. Salt and pepper, and then you just put you said any other desired hot spice. So I put a little chili powder in there. I put a little cayenne in there.
Totally.
I even threw a little crystal hot sauce in there just to like spice it up a little bit.
Absolutely. And I like this extremely bare bones kind of Midwest style, and it's so authentic to just the kind of food you get there. But yeah, for me, there's very few times I don't put paprika and stuff. I love paprika.
Oh, I should have done that. I should have put paprika in there.
Any kind of Mexican chili powder or just cayenne. I like things pretty spicy. So I would certainly even, you know, get some of that. We have some really good like ghost pepper.
And then, so the other ingredient that is very Midwest is Campbell's chicken gumbo soup.
Right.
And I couldn't find that.
Yeah.
So I had to do the other substitute, which is written in here, which you can substitute with just a can of like tomato soup.
Yeah.
Which is what I ended up doing. But now I'm like sort of bummed, because I feel like there would have been like a next level sort of thing.
I'm really curious about, and I'm wondering if that is a Midwest kind of thing. Like I don't know that I've seen the Campbell's gumbo around.
Okay. Well, when I say Midwest, I feel like it reminds me of like, my mom used to make this thing called no peak chicken, and it required Campbell's. It always required like a couple cans of different kinds of Campbell's soup. That's right. What makes me think Midwest cooking is like, throw this Campbell soup thing into whatever you're making.
It reminds me of when you make a cake with like Coke or Sprite. Right. it's like, you know, it technically works. So whatever.
Listen, my grandmother, she made pancakes and always put a can of beer in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Uh-huh. Now I'm really curious.
Yeah. So she put beer in her pancakes.
Wow.
She said the carbonation awesome. Like made it like more fluffy or whatever. Yeah,
for sure.
Whatever.
That's awesome. definitely trying that.
Uh-huh. So you put a can of Campbell soup in there of the chicken gumbo if you can find it. Or just tomato soup, or you can do chili without beans, a can of that. Let's see, 3/4 cup of ketchup, and then 1.5 teaspoons of mustard, and just let that simmer. Taste it. I felt like I was like, I was eating little spoonfuls of it over and over again, and I was like, I need to spice this up a little bit, so I'd put a little more cayenne. Or a little more chip powder in there just because I want to get some heat.
Absolutely.
But it tastes good. It's really good. That's kind of it. And then whatever your favorite hot dog is, I got some brioche buns and some, you know, Hebrew National big fatty hot dogs that I'm going to put on there. Do you put cheese on it?
I do. I love the just like a little cheese and onion on top.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely, and then I guess I've had them before, not at Coney Island, but like green onion is always kind of tasty.
Oh yeah,
but you know it depends on how like extravagant you want it. But yeah, I honestly just with the chili is definitely enough. But yeah, I love little like cheddar and onion on top.
I put some cheddar on top of it. I got, like I said, excellent. I got the big fatty Hebrew Nationals on a brioche hot dog bun. And nice. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
And nice.
Mm. Hot.
Nice.
I mean, temperature hot.
Like thermally hot. Yeah. Yeah. Those big Hebrew Nationals definitely get.
Oh my God. That's so good.
Awesome. Oh, good. Glad you like it. It's so classic. You know what I mean? So simple.
Yep.
It's like, listen, definitely.
Listeners. With like summer upon us, hopefully soon, and people getting vaccinated and being able to hang out outside and all that stuff.
Amen.
Make a chili, make a chili dog bar for like, like go outside, say hi to your neighbors you haven't seen for the past year because you all been in your houses.
Yep.
And make a chili dog bar because this is really good. Awesome. Man. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you. When it's you being an expert in food making. My sister Jocelyn has been a chef for years now, and the sort of consensus I get is that the more you know about really good food, and it's like being really into jazz.
Right.
You get really into the weird stuff, but every once in a while, you need a Misfits song.
That's right.
Every once in a while, you know, and especially, and it's such an American thing, this super unhealthy, fatty thing, but it's just like, it's so many endorphins.
Love it. I mean, it's like, everybody should eat this once in a while because
absolutely
it will make you feel good in your brain. Like it really will.
And you know, your body needs a little, it kind of needs that jolt every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's almost like building up your immune system.
Absolutely.
Like I always wonder about that, especially just growing up in the US where we have eaten. And it's funny, the generations coming up now, I say you would firmly be a Gen X, correct?
I am. Yes, I'm Gen X.
Okay. And I'm 84, which is like a few years into millennial. But yeah, I remember as a kid eating stuff that was like, you look at it now and you go, oh, the 80s were crazy. And then you think, yeah, the 70s and 60s and 50s were way crazier. Like, we have so much immunity to these like preservatives and the pink slime crap. Like, I think about how many like McDonald's cheeseburgers I've had in my life, and I just go, oh my God, I'm like a superhuman.
Yeah.
How am I not dead?
I know.
It is kind of crazy what we have adapted to, dude, honestly.
Beef Maxi Melt.
Oh, God. So good. So good. I keep waiting for to like, I'll have friends who'd be like, oh my God, I haven't had one of those in 10 years. And I keep waiting for me to like be sick of junk food. Mm-hmm. And I do eat fairly well. And, yeah, and Chris and I like to cook, but it is way too easy for me to go like, oh, I would for sure have Carl's Jr. right now. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't eat fast food often, but if someone brought me a McRib sandwich, I'd eat that thing.
Totally.
It's like my one, that's my one thing where I'm like, where I would be like, you know, I haven't eaten, my kids have never had McDonald's.
Oh, wow.
I have not had McDonald's in at least a decade. No, maybe not that long, about that long.
Still though, that's impressive.
But when McRib comes back to town, I'm really, because right? You know, it's like a special thing that they don't have all the time.
Well, exactly. And it's not only is it like a fun food to eat because of all the sugar and God knows what, but like they make it this whole thing. Oh, it's rare. It's like a comet.
McRib is back. You know,
and
oh wait, my brain just went, maybe I should go to McDonald's.
Exactly. It's like real Don Draper advertising tactics. They know what to do.
All right, let's pause for a second, and then Listeners, when we come back, we are going to discuss the new Godzilla versus Kong. I know we've talked a lot about Godzilla already, but we're just going to keep talking about more of it because he's awesome. All right, listeners, we are back, and I am here with my guest, Paul Naylor, and we are now going to talk about the new release, Godzilla versus Kong, which is in limited viewing in movie theaters right now, but also is available on HBO Max, which is how I watched it, and I think how Paul watched it as well.
Yep.
So this is the third, it's the third Godzilla, but it's like the fourth.
It's like the Monsterverse.
Monsterverse, yeah. So yeah, it's the fourth one because Kong Skull Island was included in that.
And that ended up being a really, really smart move for them.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and it wasn't until I watched this movie and really thought about it a lot that I realized just how insane it was in 1962 or whenever that was, mm-hmm, for them to put King Kong in the third Godzilla movie. It's such an insane meeting of monsters that we've grown up watching and hearing the phrase Godzilla versus Kong or whatever.
Right.
But to really think about it and go, oh, this is amazing. Like, yeah, it shouldn't work. It's such a weird thing, but it's fantastic. So yeah, I think Skull Island, I think, was a very clever idea for them.
It was just good.
Yeah. And yeah, I really enjoyed that.
John C. Reilly was great in it.
I just rewatched it kind of leading up to this, that one and King of the Monsters. Mm-hmm. And John C. Reilly just steals that movie, man. It's so utterly entertaining. But yeah, I think that just putting these two together, and yeah, like we said earlier, the fact that this kind of saved movies.
Yeah.
Because people wanted to see something fun. And this is like everybody, even if you're not a fan, you know what Godzilla and King Kong are.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine there's some people, it's weird because I do hear about kids that like have not heard about the Beatles, and that doesn't make sense to me. But then I go, oh yeah, it's just like, it's decades later than when I heard about the Beatles. Like, totally. But it's, I assume.
But everyone knows right? who Kong and Godzilla is. Like they're
totally,
they're more famous than the Beatles. Which would be, which would mean they were more
they have famous to be.
Than Jesus.
Way more famous, way more famous. And a better allegory.
Totally.
But it's, yeah, like they're just those two names together. You just can't go wrong. It's so much fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I'm hoping that, yeah, like, I hope that little kids get it. It's like when the Star Wars would come back out and you go, oh, this is cool. Like little kids like this now. They're growing up the same kind of memories you had.
So this new one. So like we said, it's the fourth one in the Monsterverse. Mm-hmm. So it just came out like, what, a week and a half ago? It's maybe 2 weeks ago.
It's like March 31st, I think.
Yeah. I've had a chance to watch it once all the way through. And then today, my son and I watched the big final battle again because we just wanted to see how cool it was.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
So basically, I mean, this movie was supposed to come out last November. And because of COVID, they delayed it a little bit. And I think it was, I mean, listeners, as you know, there's a lot of movies that were supposed to come out in the last year and they didn't. And there's been a lot of changes with the way stuff gets released. HBO has been somehow snatching up some of the biggies like this.
Yeah, for real.
Wonder Woman 84 came out on there. Justice League, the Snyder Cut just is on HBO also.
It's just so much. There's so many views for all those movies.
Yeah. Combined.
You're doing gangbusters.
Yeah. So, you know, some states just you don't want to go to the actual movie theater. So it's kind of nice to have this like option to watch it at home. I mean, I feel like a lot of people just have like crazy TVs now. I don't, but like it might be even cooler to watch it in your house.
Right.
But I don't know.
We just got a newer TV and it's not a crazy I mean, it's by today's standards, not a crazy TV, but it's still huge and looks good.
Yeah.
But it would be fun. If somebody had, you know, one of those projectors or like the surround sound and all that,
totally.
I could, my brother saw it in the theater with my dad and he said that it was just extremely loud and awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
I do remember. Yeah.
We just the local movie theater here, one of the local movie theaters here, it's a Cinemark one, has done a thing where you can buy a whole theater.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I've so seen that.
That's really cool.
So us and a couple friends went in on just going in. We were just like, let's just go see a movie.
Yeah. You know?
Let's see what they have the options for. It was $100. And you could have up to 20 people. That's $5 a person.
So it's easy. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And no one else could be in there except for the people in your sort of pod. So we all, so I think there were 12 of us or whatever. And we went and watched Bumblebee, the Transformers.
Oh, movie, yeah, yeah.
Which is basically the only good Transformers movie in my opinion.
Because I was going to say, yeah.
Hands in it.
Right. But, yeah, that's probably helps a lot.
But that was my first thing too. I have, like, my ears suck because of playing in rock bands for years.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
But I felt like, God, it's loud in here.
Uh-huh.
Like, I haven't heard, like, sound that loud in a year, at least.
Totally, longer. Yeah.
And I was just like, holy crap, it's, like, so loud.
Right.
But, yeah.
You wonder where the cutoff point is.
I know.
I do remember, I thought the 2014 one was so impactful because I remember... I mean, I felt like the just good normal sound throughout it, but Godzilla's roar was really loud. Yeah. I remember thinking that when he looks kind of right at the camera and the Chinese lanterns fly away, you know, I just remember thinking like, I don't think I've heard anything this loud in a theater before.
Totally.
So I'm hoping, I'm assuming they amp it up a little bit each movie. So,
okay. So listeners, I'm just going to give a quick plot synopsis of what this movie is about. So this one takes place 5 years after Godzilla defeated King Ghidorah, which was the previous movie. Kong is monitored by this company called Monarch within this giant dome on Skull Island. So that's how they sort of tie the two in, right? Kong is visited by Gia, which is a young girl who is deaf and communicates with Kong via sign language. So Kong understands sign language. So this is sort of like a giant Coco the gorilla kind of situation.
Totally. Yeah.
Which I think it was like a kind of.
I loved it. Because, I mean, he is smart.
Uh-huh. So she's got him to communicate with. The other thing that I think was cool about this that they introduced was the Hollow Earth theory.
I love that. And I love that it's the kind of thing that if it was merely hinted at, it would seem weird. But mm-hmm. even in King of the Monsters, when they just full on go into an ancient civilization sunken temple, you're like, okay, they went 100%.
Right.
They are fully now telling you that the earth is hollow and full of monsters and anti-gravity. Totally. And this one, for them to just go like, we're hanging out. I assume it's a lot of motion capture, but you're watching Kong see his old, you know, his family's ruins and his old temple. And it just that he looked, it did remind me of Coco a lot, where you go, God, this
totally.
Is, he is like the main character of the movie, and you really, really care for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with, you know, having a primate.
Totally.
As like one of the main characters, we as like humans, we can identify more emotionally, I feel like.
Oh, totally.
With him than even we can with Godzilla.
Absolutely, yeah.
Godzilla being like a lizard, although I, you know, for years of loving Godzilla, I can like also like feel certain things that maybe
right.
other people can't, but
yeah,
but the emotion, the ability to emote facially and stuff like that with
absolutely
definitely comes across more with Kong. The movie stars Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown from you know, Stranger Things fame. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Kyle Chandler.
He's great.
Friday Night Lights.
And what's very cool is he was in Peter Jackson's King Kong.
So he was
one King Kong movie. He was in King of the Monsters. That's one mm-hmm. Godzilla movie. Yep. And now he's in like that's he can retire now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He just nailed it. It was like when Bill Paxton got killed by a Terminator, an Alien, and a Predator.
Yep. It's like
he could have just retired, man. Yeah, that's so cool.
But Kyle Chandler plays Millie Bobby Brown's dad. The thing, so did you see, have you seen the interview with Alexander Skarsgård?
Like in regarding this movie?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think I have.
Like, so his dad was a huge Showa Godzilla fan. So he grew up
with nice.
Old Godzilla stuff.
He oh, rad.
Super duper stoked to get
cool.
To get this job. And he also is really into the Hollow Earth theory.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because of other stuff that he's just read throughout his childhood and growing up.
Right.
He was like, he's like, this isn't like all that stuff, but man, it like I saw an interview and he was just like, you're gonna like this movie, but I really suggest you go back and watch the old Showa Godzilla stuff because it's fantastic. And I saw this interview with him and he just Dude. Really is also just a super fan, which makes me like even more like happy with this guy.
Absolutely. Well, and there's you when you are such a fan of these things, you need the people involved to be passionate about it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm so happy that they got, and honestly, I thought he was great in it. And yeah. I thought he was very fascinating as a main sort of character, because he could so easily play the big, intimidating, just every 50s stereotype.
Totally.
Tough guy, kind of, you know, no nonsense. They made him a little klutzy and a little bit of a goof.
Yep.
And we've seen him be such a scary tough guy in the past. I thought, and he's still like, he still looks like a model, and he's like 6'6", but he's like tripping over stuff. And I was like, this is cool. I bet he's having a fucking blast. And
I love, one of my favorite parts is when he's trying to do sign language back to the little
guy. And that was
like,
good.
He's like, "You're so brave." And he's signing coward to her. She just kind of is like, okay.
Yeah, okay. She goes, I'm going to let that go. But it's those little moments like that. I love it. And it's so funny with these new Godzillas coming out, because you can tell people who aren't real fans of the old ones when they complain about there being too many characters in the beginning of the movie. And you're like, the whole fun of these is these weird characters, and you're waiting for it to happen. And then when it finally pops up, like, I remember being bored by some of them as a kid. Some of them were visually interesting enough to like where kids would love them, but a couple of them have a little more like kind of subtle plot lines. And I remember just being like, when's Godzilla show up? And now to hear people complaining about that, and you're like, oh, you don't get it.
Yep.
That's half the fun.
Yep. That's the formula for Godzilla movie.
And I mean, even in this one, where they've, each movie that's gone by with people complaining after the 2014 one, they've just amped it up more.
And what were they complaining about with the 2014?
It was honestly, I think people were expecting, and it was, it's people that have heard Godzilla know what Godzilla is, but they don't know the formula. They don't know the sort of history of it and how it went from being this horrifying metaphor to very silly in a matter of a decade. You know, like there's a lot of weird, subtle little things that make it such a pop culture icon. And I think honestly, people went in expecting like a Transformers movie.
Totally.
And instead they got these, Gareth Edwards is, between that and Rogue One, and actually was it Monsters, his first movie?
Monsters is good.
That's so good. And he does, they're extremely subtle movies. Rogue One less so, because it's, you know, Star Wars and everything.
Right. But a fantastic movie.
Oh my God, it's so good. And he does scaling better than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the 2014 one, and there's just that whole scene where they're inside the terminal and the jet crashes and it blows up a 747, and then that in turn blows up that one. And then his foot comes down and dwarfs everything. and you just feel that rumble, and everybody goes completely silent in shock. And then you see how big he is. It's just like, there's so many ways that they could have filmed this that wouldn't have quite worked.
Right.
And it just, I feel like all the movies have done a pretty good job with that.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard to, with CGI. I notice in this new one, they're moving way too fast.
I agree.
As far as physics go.
Right.
And I wondered if it was one of those things where if they had slowed it down more, it wasn't clicking for some reason.
Yeah.
And I think that the Gareth Edwards one had these long kind of artistic shots, you know, a lot of really interesting camera angles, a lot of long shots. And I think, I love King of the Monsters. They're all really fun, but it's, there's so many quick little things, and you're like, if you guys spent this much time designing Ghidra in like a full, you know, did all the CGI, like, give me a 15-second shot of him flying around. That's fun.
So this one's directed by Adam Wingard. This movie's called Godzilla vs. Kong. That's not really what it is. That's what we think it is. Not
particularly.
It's more, they end up teaming up eventually.
Right. And it's basically exactly the dynamic you kind of knew this had to have.
It had to.
And I think, and I think even a while ago in the promotion, there were people were talking about, oh no, one of them wins. There's like a clear winner.
Right.
And you go, okay, they're not killing off Godzilla, because you don't do that yet after only a few movies. And Kong, it would be like watching Tom Hanks die in a movie. Like, you don't want to see him get hurt.
Right.
And it's, you just knew that it was going to be, this is a horrible metaphor, but the only thing I kept thinking was when Ving Rhames and Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction are just looking at each other like, if I ever see you again, you're dead. But you saved me, just walk away. Like, I hate you, but I respect you, just leave. And obviously, Godzilla versus Kong doesn't go into, you know, horrifying, like, sexual violence or anything.
Right.
But luckily, but it's that, I love that, and Kyle always would say this too, I don't know if it's from a movie or something, but that, God damn it, I hate you, but I respect you, or something
yes.
like that.
Yes, he does say
that. It's just the classic. And it's such a great dynamic. How spoily can we get here?
We can get spoily. It's fine. Okay. I think generally with this, you know, my 27 listeners probably, you know, have watched it already.
Right. And the imagery got out. But yeah, you knew that they would have to team up somehow against something, or at least have a common adversary.
Yeah.
And I think it was really smart because they've been setting up this idea that, you know, they've made these Titans a little more grounded in biology so that there actually is an alpha. And I love the idea that it is as simple as something stupid like an alpha going, oh, I got to kill that one, otherwise I'm not the alpha anymore. And that's just ingrained in his brain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the whole view on these animals is really interesting. It feels more like it's actually, they're from an ecosystem. Kind of like, I love the mutualism with Mothra versus the Mutos being a parasite.
Right.
And yeah, just the, oh man, it's, sorry, where were we initially going with that? I got like so sidetracked by thinking about all those cool monsters.
The trailers were very like coy with this stuff. It very much seemed like Kong and Godzilla, it was just going to be like a throwdown battle with the two
exactly.
of them. But they threw these little bitty, like sneaky little things in the previews. And of course, like the super Godzilla nerd people like ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're like, wait a second. Is that Mecha Godzilla?
Exactly.
You know, there was a whole bunch of stuff like that where we were trying to, like, you and I, my son, thousands and hundreds of thousands of other people at the same time are like, Wait a second. There's going to be something else popping up in here. This is just not Hong Kong. And we knew it was Mechagodzilla within a week of the show.
Oh,
of the
movie totally.
Coming out.
Absolutely.
We were like, oh, yeah, this is going to be sweet.
And it is. That's what I was saying with the whole alpha thing before I started fantasizing about Monster Island. But yeah, the idea that they're these alphas, and the smartest way to get them to actually be on the same side is for them to both realize that the humans, who they've been fairly ambivalent to, I love Godzilla's ambivalence towards humans. It's just like, what are you doing here? But it's for them to realize that, oh, these little things running around that we either step on or occasionally like made this thing. And it's kicking the shit out of both of us. And I really like that. I mean, without Kong, Godzilla absolutely would have been killed. And that was very scary. To see Godzilla actually like in pain was emotionally devastating. But and then there's the thing with Kong where Godzilla's got to save him at the last second. So it's really smart for them to both have the realization, full blown, like montage scene where it's like them working out.
Yep.
Like and like swimming around and doing laps and stuff
with, so they with headbands,
Godzilla.
With, like, sweatbands
yeah,
on.
Yeah, like really tiny shorts. All right, I got something to draw later. But yeah, the idea that that's very interesting just for the animal kingdom, the idea that alphas would recognize a new alpha and go, we could just both kill it, and then just look at each other kind of mad and walk away.
Right.
And honestly, because Kong does have Hollow Earth, he's essentially the alpha
totally
of the other planet.
Right.
And Godzilla is just grumpy and like goes and, you know, sleeps in the Mariana Trench and then mm-hmm. pops up occasionally.
Yeah.
But that dynamic, and it was exactly what it had to be. You knew they were somehow going to defeat something else. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that the human interference was actually what was so threatening to them was a good thing. And also the fact that King Ghidorah's head, Kevin, the silly head.
Kevin.
I love so much that they made his left head silly. Like, I love that. But yeah, so they got Kevin's head, and the fact that they're like that, I love that set piece with the skull and the weird, you know, mm-hmm. glowing tubes coming up. And it killed the pilot. So essentially Kevin was operating Mechagodzilla. So essentially they were fighting Ghidorah at the end, and he was kind of getting his revenge on Godzilla. It's so many fun little things like that, where like clearly that's not the level of, you know, collecting the plot points in Goodfellas or something, but it's such great little payoffs, and totally. It's so many great references to the franchise. I think going into this cold would be weird to not know, oh, that's, they're showing Godzilla this way, or he's making this sound because of this, like mm-hmm. also some really great, what was the one, excellent Jaws reference,
yeah,
where he's stuck to the aircraft. That was so totally. smart.
Yeah.
And so when great. You first saw him, I thought that one of the scariest things in the movie is when you first see him, it's just the fins mm-hmm. and it's coming at the camera and you see the glowing eyes under the water, and then he just screams at the camera.
Uh-huh. That is a really good one. But the one that stuck out to me is the homage to Lethal Weapon. Kong's shoulder is dislocated.
Good. Yes,
smack it into a building good. To pop it back into place.
Goes like that.
That's Lethal Weapon.
It totally is. Oh my god, that's funny. I've seen that in something, but just when the look on his face where he's like, "Fuck it," is genius.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh my god, that's sweet."
it's so many little things like that where you're just like, "Perfect. That's all. Yep. That's what we wanted."
Yeah, I have some issues with like the design of Mechagodzilla, but not a ton. I mean, I think it was really cool. I felt like, I mean, I read this also, the director really liked he sort of wanted it to be based kind of in the same way that like the Transformers from the Transformers franchise was very like simplistic and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I kind of get that. But there's something about, I mean, after watching this, Ollie and I went back and watched Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, like the mm-hmm. original one from like 74.
Right.
I think it's 74. And
that's right.
There's something about it being like so anatomically similar to Godzilla.
Right.
Makes it more cool to me. But like, I get it. We've like progressed technologically and like with all of this stuff. And uh-huh. I do think this Mechagodzilla in this movie is really cool looking.
Oh yeah.
And at the same time, it was unexpected for me, like what it was going to look like.
It was
totally. A lot of the things that it was able to do. I liked
its powers.
Whenever it would punch, like,
dude, yeah,
it would like charge up, like
shoots out. Yeah,
it was cool. It was definitely cool. And like when it wanted to move fast, it sort of had these jets that would shoot out of its back to like
sort of
make it move faster.
It was
neat.
It was kind of like, yeah, it was like how they do the animals where there's some thought as to how the real world works. You know, your suspension of disbelief is already pretty far.
Oh,
but yeah, like having jetpacks to propel.
Yeah.
But it's, I felt the same way. Because the original design is so cool, and it is, there's something very weird that's happened with robots where I'm such a fan of older stuff and, you know, mid-century. And like, mm-hmm. I think that like the Iron Giant or Gort.
Oh yeah,
those type of robot. I love those, and Mechagodzilla falls slightly into that category. But they
original Mechagodzilla.
You're right, right.
Yeah.
The logistically, you know, and I when I see the, I mean, they call them mechs, and that's mm-hmm. like the whole thing. And it's a lot of, honestly, it's stuff I know very, very little about. The way robots now, giant robots, actually have moving parts that they would in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And aesthetically, it's funny because they just look right. And it's like they advance the technology, they're doing it better. But mm-hmm. the way like Bender looks,
totally.
Like I love that is how a robot should look.
I agree.
So, yeah, and I
see all the moving parts are on the inside.
Yes, I love.
Yeah, yeah. The new thing is to just have like a bunch of stuff like moving exposed. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. And
that's definitely the new aesthetic, which started with Transformers, I think.
And it was cool because it was an interesting vibe between just the way that looks now and kind of old and kind of simple. And like his fins were very, very just straight, you know, like
yeah.
bars. I thought it was a lot of stuff where I applaud them kind of just taking the chance.
Totally.
And just kind of making it as you don't want people to be freaked out by it, but you want to switch it up a little bit on them.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Mm.
I think the one thing that I'm going to be disappointed about, I've gotten so used to like that, like mid credits or tail end credits, there's always like a little bonus something.
Yes.
And
for sure.
I don't know. There just would have been something. I feel like this was a movie that just needed a little like, it didn't need it. It didn't need right. it. I wanted it because they yeah. have now made me, all of these movies have now made me expect that they're going to give me a little taster at the end of
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And I was just like, there was something. This is totally ridiculous and would have probably never even happened, but like I wanted to see a new Jet Jaguar.
Oh, so badly. I was thinking that too.
A little bit like him just flying through space, coming to Earth for some reason.
And exactly.
No explanation. I just wanted to see Jet Jaguar or.
Oh, it is so good.
Or some, or another kaiju, but that's right. That's the one that I'm just like, he's only been in one movie.
Yeah. And he's awesome.
Please reboot Jet Jaguar. Come on.
I, and it's funny because there's a part of you that thinks, oh, if you're kind of taking the old school approach and if you make a movie, it should just be the movie. And it's like, I get them wanting to do that, but yeah, we are so used to it now. And when you're seeing a giant franchise special effects spectacular like this, mm-hmm. I wonder if part of it has to do with just there not being plans right now for the MonsterVerse and them not knowing how this movie was going to do. I feel like if they knew it was going to do well, they would have teased us a little something. Because like I would love to see, because Jet Jaguar, Gigan could get like a message from dead Ghidra and come from space. Like who knows?
And you and I were talking before doing recording this. Mm-hmm. It was like, man, it'd be cool if Mecha King Ghidorah popped up in this.
Dude, for real.
Because it would have like a really badass.
It's like so thing. Cool, and it would have made almost even more sense given how they did it. But and that's the thing, is there's just so many characters, and mm-hmm. I know you love this one, but my brother's real favorite is Hedera.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's such an unbelievably psychedelic, bizarre, strangely dark movie that you can't help but love it. It's just it's an anomaly, but it's such a classic.
I mean,
but I feel like
that one is really like, I mean, that one kind of gets to the heart of what Godzilla was originally about. It was
totally,
it was about like, you know, pollution and like the cost of using nuclear weapons. It was like all of these
totally. Things
that you're fucking up the environment with.
Mm-hmm.
Hedera is such a good one and so weird. It's such a
weird. It's so weird. It's because the movie is so psychedelic and bizarre. There's animation in it, but it actually carries a heavy message like the first one. Mm-hmm. And I feel like given what we know now about, are they called colonial organisms? You know, like how technically the biggest living thing on Earth is actually like a system of
mushroom
trees. Yeah. I feel like you could do something really amazing with like toxic waste, mm-hmm. an organism like that. You could have a header and it would be so weird and so gross. Like
the new, a new version of that would be amazing.
Oh my God. And just, yeah, like toxic and melting concrete. Like it's so gross.
Yeah.
I think that this movie did well enough to where what I know about the industry, what little I picked up, it's like if a movie does this well, they basically have to make another one. Totally.
Listeners, I'm going to say this is a good one. You should see it.
Absolutely.
If you got HBO Max, it's on there. I'm sure you can rent it other places, or like if you're in a place where you can actually go to a movie theater, highly recommend seeing it. It's super entertaining. And then like revisit the old stuff too. The old stuff is so good.
Definitely.
It's really
listen to Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.
He's got a good head on his shoulders. And really you appreciate these infinitely more when you've seen those old ones. I could totally understand people not quite getting it, and I might judge them silently, but like you do have to be along for the ride. It's such an amazing pop culture icon to go from this very horrifying dark movie less than a decade out from the atom bombs going off.
I would like to point out that the fact that this franchise has been going on for nearly 60 years means that it's probably there's something about it.
Yeah.
So like, really, come on. Like if you haven't delved into Godzilla stuff, believe me, it's not just a bunch of monsters like breaking buildings and fighting each other. There's an underlying message to a lot of it. And I highly suggest just adventuring into that and just having a little bit of an open mind about it.
Definitely. It's funny just how we think of it now as it's like, I love it. I love when it shows up in Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Yeah. It's just
totally
monsters fighting each other, but some of the movies truly are silly, but it comes from a very dark, serious place. And there's heavy political and social messages throughout.
Shin Godzilla.
I mean, yeah, you can't beat it. Oh, that's a good one.
Shin Godzilla is a great one to look into. It's very much like a commentary on how Japan handled the tsunami.
Fukushima.
It's
a total fantastic, like procedural. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. And pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny and like terrifying at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like it's one of the craziest Godzilla movies I've ever seen. And it is the cool thing about that one also is that like the Godzilla was designed by one of the artists that works with Miyazaki at Studio Ghibli. So if you've ever watched any Studio Ghibli stuff, like my friend Totoro or my neighbor Totoro or like Spirited Away or anything like that, it was it's like if something like that was designed into a 3D like more realistic world, it's like one of the craziest looking Godzilla.
It's truly alarming, and I think they did a really smart thing in making Godzilla very, very ghastly.
Yeah.
You don't look at him and kind of go like, oh, he looks cool. He's like a buff dinosaur. You look at him and you go, this is an abomination of science. Like everything that I'm seeing kind of makes me sick to my stomach. Like it was really smart. He looks gross and scary. It was to make something that was originally scary and had become a pop culture icon in a cartoon, and then go, we're gonna make him scary again.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be gross.
Yeah.
He's going to be gross,
and he's going to be violent. Like,
yes.
Like he's not smart. He's not even like Godzilla is always kind of the good guy.
Right.
Even though like, you know, he's destroying buildings and stuff like that. But at the same time, there's usually an underlying thing where he's like being sort of the protector in a way. Most of the time, not in Shin Godzilla. In Shin Godzilla,
no. He's
just there to destroy shit. The fire breath of Shin Godzilla is the coolest.
It's
fire breath of any of them. And I love all Godzilla, but that one, I was just like, when it happened the first time, I was like, oh my God.
Awesome. I 100% agree. I have told people that about this, where I remember watching, and there's extremely beautiful music, like the score when he does that. And he has the stages of like gas and then fire and then the laser. And it's, I remember thinking that they had capitalized on the fire breath idea more than anybody possibly could have.
Mm-hmm.
But horrifying. It made you go like, oh, this thing's scary.
Yep. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Very, yeah, for real.
All right. Before we sign off, Paul, I want to hear about like what's going on with the Naylor Brothers music stuff right now. Because you and your brother are like making some really cool music.
Thank you.
That I enjoy.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I've been doing music forever and just being in bands and stuff. And my brother, David, he never really was in bands, but he's always been kind of musical. And he's very into film. And he has, you know, for years and years, especially when he was in school, had made little movies and things, and was often just kind of writing little ditties to go over them. And these really cool little very melodic little kind of fragments of songs almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them he had developed into basically full songs. Some of them were just kind of ideas. And when the pandemic happened, he started sending me all of these things and he basically just said, go crazy. And it became this back and forth of just working on GarageBand and, adding elements, making the songs longer. And then we decided that instead of vocals, we were just going to use audio clips from things that we like. So it's a lot of very eclectic, very bizarre, almost video game music, but also has a lot of what we really enjoy. There's punk and surf and some heavy kind of sludgy stuff in there. The vast majority of our clips are coming from either very weird, old, newsreels, but like educational videos from the 50s, real MST3K kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then honestly, the majority of the lines I think are just lines from MST3K that Joel or any one of them is saying. And basically we'll just listen to movies, and whenever something interesting is said, we'll make note of it. And so it's a very fun, very kind of silly project. But yeah, if you like kind of eclectic stuff, certainly some heavier music in there. A lot of stuff that sounds like the boss level in a video game.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's been really fun. We've released two albums last summer because we were so bored. It was all we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to Bandcamp and look up the Naylor Brothers,
all right.
our first album and our second album are on there, as well as two preview tracks that we just put out, including Juicy.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a new album we'll try to put out fairly soon. We're at the point now where we're doing a lot of the audio clips.
Cool.
Good to make sure it's funny enough. But yeah, we're gonna put that out. It's gonna be called Rizzler, which is my dog's nickname.
Sweet. So listeners, yeah. I'll put that link in the show notes on here for you to check out. Try these chili dogs out and watch as many Godzilla movies as you can, because you'll be better for it.
Do your homework.
That's right.
You really will be.
All right, listeners. This track you're hearing is Not Enough Monsters by the Naylor Brothers. Follow the link in the show notes to hear more. Make some chili dogs. Watch some Godzilla movies. Follow Dinner with Nate on Instagram. Leave a review and rating on Apple as well. I'm Nate Flansburgh, and this was Dinner with Nate. Thanks for listening.